Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, there has been a pressing theme in this church for I don't even know how long at this point. But God is desiring for His church to press in. A constant pressing in. Not just a, we come to church, we go through our motions, but a pressing in that is violently going after the house and the kingdom of God. Wanting more constantly. And people, I've heard so many people say, when you say you want more, what does that mean? It means that I'm never okay with just what's happening now. I always want more of God. I want more of what He has for me. I always want to be growing in what He's doing. I always want to be walking in His steps. I always want to be doing what my Father has told me to do. I always want to be about my Father's business. It's a pressing. A pressing that regardless of what you see, regardless of what's happening, it doesn't matter because we're pressing in. As we learn to press in regardless of what's going on in our lives, we'll begin to see things in our lives that we didn't even realize, we didn't even think of, we didn't even imagine, because God will work things together for your good always. Always, in every situation, in every single thing that's happening. But what's so important for the church, woo, where the church begins to rise up, become set apart, is when we begin to walk in what God's telling us to do all the time. It doesn't mean, I'm not telling you that you gotta be going and shouting something specific or saying something specific or doing something specific, but I will say that it means being in the Word of God, praying on a regular basis, going after God personally for direction in your life all the time. He always has something for you. That is what is so amazing about who we serve. It's not just a God. It's not just the same old religion. It is a relationship with a very alive Father that's constantly wanting to teach us and take us and give us new things and just show us paths that He has for us. It's one of the reasons that being in His presence is so, so, so important. Because even when you think, even when you are in your prayer closet and you're saying, I don't know what to say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm just gonna worship and I'm gonna be here in your presence, it's still a surrender. It's still that spending time with a Father that you love. It's building a relationship. And as you begin to build that relationship, just like the Bible talks about the transformation of your mind, you'll begin to see things happening in your life. There was a demonstration I did, I don't know, it was kind of a long time ago in a sermon where I filled up a big glass tube like this of ping pong balls. And as you pour the water in, you begin to see those ping pong balls just rise up and start to come out. And eventually, that clear tube is nothing but clear water. And it's exactly what God does in our life. As you go after Him, as you press in, as you just stay focused on what He has for you, what He's doing, what He's saying to you, what He's trying to give you. It's nothing that you have to do in your life. It's that Spirit pouring in that just begins to pull things up and clean them out and place new things within you. Clean water. See, that's the thing. We make it more complicated when we think that we gotta do things to fix. fix things, to get them changed, to, okay, I'm having a problem with an addiction, I'm having a problem with might, whatever it is, we think we gotta fix it. The simple part is, though, is you just gotta go after God. Just trust Him. Trust Him in every single situation, everything you're going through. When you don't know what to do, go after God. When you know what to do, go after God, because He's going to give you more. It doesn't matter. Just go after Him. Press in. Press in with a hunger, a fire, a passion for what God has for you. Because it doesn't matter. When you go after God, He answers. It's a promise. It's a promise that you have in your life. He will answer every time. Oh, yeah.
Good morning. I always wonder if I should read something, because... But anyway, I'll read it. My husband's cousin passed away yesterday, and I thought of this, well, I wrote this morning, but it's because I've been in those dark places, and I was thinking about them, and I wrote this down this morning. He won't leave you in the darkness. It's your choice how long you stay. So let God guide you out of it. Take His hand and gently pray. Cling to Jesus. He walks us through unto a brighter day. Let Him safely guide you. Then you'll be okay. Often we are restless and cannot see the way to climb out of the misery, and we choose to stay. Our heart may be broken, in need of some repair. Our Savior sees our struggles. Our Savior sees our struggles. He is there with you. Sometimes He leads us on a road we didn't have in view, a path that makes us weary, and not trusting Him instead, are tempted to traverse upon a road He hasn't led. Sometimes He sends the storms to us, and we must trust Him there, for He carries us. Seek His presence, our shelter in the storm. Life is never easy. Our Savior told us that. So let Him stay within your heart and always have a chat. Ask Him what He wants from you. He's right beside you, know. He guides our every step, inviting us to grow.
Several days ago, the Lord told me to go up to the mountain again. And I don't go up on the mountain unless He tells me, because I have some issues that try to prevent me from going up there. But He always gets me through it. And He had me do some bushwhacking this time off the trail. And I came across this rock that was about as long as this stage. Solid rock, smooth as could be, and it just looked like it would be a platform for like an amphitheater or something. And He said, I want you to bring some people back to this rock, and I want them to stand on the rock. There's a stream that runs along this rock. This rock cannot be moved. And the stream is rediverted from going this way to that way because of this rock. That's why it's so smooth. But He wants us to stand on the rock. And the coincidence in what brought this up is, I wasn't going to come up and talk about this, but what brought this up is, on the way back, I was singing this very song. And I'm coming down the trail singing this song. And every bend I came to, there was a deer would run up right in front of me and stop. And I just kept singing to the deer. And they just stood there, right there in my face. The Lord told me to take that hike And I went up Madera Canyon Road, and I get to the base of it, and it says road closed. And my first thought was, well, I'll just go back home, because, you know, he told me to go up on this mountain. And I said, Lord, what do I do? He says, go on the mountain. So I started hiking from the road closed sign and went up there anyway. And he rewarded me by being obedient, by sending all these animals to me. As I'm singing this very song all the way down the trail, the animals are just jumping out and staring there. Do you know we have dominion over the animals? He is showing us and showing me, when you operate in the Lord and follow His things, do something that you don't normally do, He will show you things that you've never seen before. He will show you the dominion that you have. He will show you that when you praise the Lord, He will respond to you. He's saying, this church, this whole church can stand on this rock, on this mountain, and praise the Lord here, and I will bring miracles to this church. One day when He tells me, I will be asking some of you to come up on the rock with us, and I'd like to worship on this very rock that He presented to me. So keep that in mind when it warms up a little bit, because there was snow and everything up there, and I'm sure many of you wouldn't want to do that, but I have to go whenever He tells me to, so thank you very much.
Okay, so this song here we're singing, I Trust in God, My Savior. The reason why I'm standing here right now is I am trusting God, my Savior. I have sought the Lord, and He answered. And I am to stand up here and proclaim His word. And that is what I'm going to do here. And I have sought the Lord. I have trusted God, my Savior. This is something I wanted to do last year. It was heavy on my heart last year. This is always heavy on my heart every single year. And I'm going to start with Steve's song, which is, You've Loved Me Forever. Is this on? You loved me forever before I was born. You loved me forever before I was born, okay? So, what did it mean when God said, I knew you before you were born? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I've known you before there was a you to be known to anyone else. Before you were in the womb, before I even began to form you there, I knew you. I stand before you here. Since 1995, I have been a person used of the Lord. Since 1995, this is not something I'm just standing up here right now today. This is something that has been on my heart since 1995. And actually, in college, which was in the 80s, I did a paper on this issue. And then, as I got more and more involved in the cause, the Lord gave me this verse. This is the Lord, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. It's a clear mandate. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 is a clear mandate to be people who stand up for the defenseless, and demand justice. This verse answers with a resounding yes to the question, should believers speak up when they see injustice being carried out around them? Absolutely yes. So, rather than we, as the people of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer, and we crest and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession, Ephesians 6:18. So, the reason why I'm standing up here is that today is the 21st, right? Tomorrow, 51 years since 1973, abortion has been legal. Now, of course, in the Supreme Court, it has been overturned, but that does not mean that abortions are not still happening in our country. They are. 64 million babies have died since abortion became legal in 1973. 64 million. That's more than the Holocaust. So this is why I stand before you, and my mandate here, as I got counsel on this as well, is that we as a people, individually, as a people corporately, but individually, we need to go into our prayer closet and we need to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit for the government to change the way, the direction of our country. Because Chronicles, hold on, I got it. Chronicles says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face in their prayer closet, corporately or wherever, individually, by themselves, with the Holy Spirit, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now the land is not just America, the land is the entire world, which is, I think it's 7 billion. I think the population is like 7 billion. So I'm just pleading with the body, pleading with myself for just for the country, for the world. Pray for abortion to be done in this country. For the Holy Spirit to take hold of this country. So, Lord, I ask you, Lord, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, change our country, change our government, change the hearts of the people that are making these laws, change their hearts, change their minds by the power of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Amen.
I love what Liz said. She's right on. Right on, sister. Woohoo! Because we're taking back the country, right? Are we taking back the country? Everyone's hands up. We're taking back this land for the Lord. We command it. We anchor it right here and now in Sahara, all of Arizona and this border. It is sealed. This country is sealed. In this commitment that we made a long time ago, this covenant with the Lord, and we are re-energizing it and we are commanding it. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, it is done. And we are not going to take any more of this, whatever, from international interference. Oh no, this is God's land. And it stains God's land. And we have to stand up, and the Lord has anointed every one of us. He has anointed us to step forward. So turn it up, turn it on, move forward, speak up when you can, talk to people, get people to start to realize they do have the power, because one with God is a majority, and we are one with God. And we will get this country back, and step by step, we will take this divine law and place it in our communities. And I ask you to share this with all of your friends, family, wherever they are around the country. It's really difficult sometimes because there's so much force coming against us. But remember, this is authorities we are dealing with and dominions. And they are being dismantled. And Satan is running because he's scared. So the more that we get committed in our heart, and I love that the prayer closet is a powerful place. Some people are forming groups and they're meeting every week. And they are speaking up to the Lord. We are your children, Lord, and we're not going to take this anymore. And we command your complete momentum and energy to take place in this country. We are the hope of the world. And remember, we are Americans. And we are serving the Lord. And we are victorious. I just wanted to share that.
I think Pastor talked a couple Sundays ago about more in 24. And this morning when I was getting ready, I read this verse. It says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near.
Come on, man. Come on.
And I've been praying about having God in every decision that I make. And yeah. I felt convicted this morning in my closet as I was actually getting ready after I read that. Was that I moved forward with a decision without conferring with him first. So I prayed in my closet for him to forgive me for that, and to, if it was a bad decision, to reverse it. And I know that he can do that. So more in 24.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Mia. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead, brother. Come on.
I don't often do this. Give you a little bit of my testimony this morning.
Yes. You can sit. Yes, please. I'm sorry.
I was in a place a long time ago, where I was addicted to drugs. I was getting my hands on anything I could get my hands on. And this was up in college, up in Wisconsin. I had a guy who came and met me in an English class. We traipsed across this field that had 2 feet of snow in it, and you couldn't see the other side of the field, and you had to walk in the tracks of the guys who were walking in there. I knew where it was, that kind of that direction across this field. You just followed the tracks of this guy. We got to this place, and the teacher didn't show up.
Oh, boy.
So this guy met me, and we started talking, and I started telling him about stuff that I enjoyed doing. One of those things, remember a gal named Jean Dixon? Anybody remember her? She was like a supposed prophet, you know, would tell the future and such. She certainly wasn't 100%. These days, she'd probably get stoned. But I was interested in her. And this guy, he gave me a book. And it turned my world upside down. It wasn't the Bible, okay? But it was a book called The Late Great Planet Earth.
Oh, yeah. Hal Lindsey.
A lot of you remember that book. That blew me away, because it talked about prophecy that's in the Word, and you could see step by step by step everything that different people would say came true. Everything that they said came true. We still have stuff now that's coming for us.
Come
here
on,
in this
that's
room
right. That's right.
That hasn't been fulfilled, but it's about to be.
That's right. Come on.
Right, it is about to be.
Come on.
So anyway, this guy followed me for a long time, and we would go out for coffee after class and sit and talk. And he told me over and over, he said, you know, you're never going to be able to quit doing drugs until you find Jesus.
Come on, man. There you go.
Jesus is the only one that's going to help you do
Praise
that.
God.
I said, you're nuts. You're crazy. I have a hold of my life. I know what I can do, and you don't. And I was absolutely positive, 100%, that I could get by without Jesus. I didn't need that. I'd seen some hypocrisy in the church. I'd seen a lot of things that I didn't like. Mm. And I thought, well, you know, that's just not for me. But he kept telling me this. I said, all right, finally, one day I gave up. And I said, okay, I'll prove to you that I have control of my life. Okay. 24 hours later, I was shaking like a leaf. You know, and I was, my insides were turned inside out, and it was crying out for these drugs.
Come on.
And I realized that I didn't have control that I thought I had. And I called him up, and I said, all right, what do I got to do?
Praise God.
Like the guy in the scriptures, right? What must I do
Amen.
To get this salvation? They took me down to their church where a youth group was there, and unbeknownst to me, they had two people that they were going to pray for that night. One was an alcoholic that they'd found on the street, and they went and they started praying for this guy, and they were laying hands on him, praying loudly in tongues, crying out to God for this guy. And I looked over there, and fear rose up in me, and I went, they're coming for me next.
It's a wild bunch.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did. They came over, and I remember saying to myself, okay, I'm just gonna grit my teeth and bear this, whatever it is that they're gonna try and do with me. And they started laying hands on, speaking in tongues, and I kept getting lower and lower and lower, and all of a sudden fear just rose up inside of me, and I jumped up, pushed them all away, and ran. Oh, wow. I got out of that church, and I went back to my dorm room in despair, really, not knowing what to do. I got into bed that night, and for the first time in my life, I called out to God.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Come on, man.
And he answered.
Yeah, and he answered. Amen.
Now, the way that it happened for me was, I went to sleep that night, and the prayer that I prayed, it was nothing serious at all, except I said, Lord, I don't know if you're real. These people tell me that you are, but if you are, I need help. And I wept myself to sleep.
Come on, man. Praise God.
But it was the next morning when I woke up. And I felt like I did when you were 8 years old. Remember that? 8 years old. You could conquer anything. You could run for
Come
miles.
On, man. Amen.
You could, the energy that you had when you were young like that, that's how I woke up that morning. And I felt so good, and I'm like, wow, that was a really good night's sleep.
Amen. Praise God.
And this, we're in the middle of Wisconsin, and I had a supernatural experience with just a couple of things. A bluebird came and sat on the sill of my window, and I was on the fourth floor of this dorm, and birds never came up where we were. There were no trees near our dorms. This bluebird came and sat there and looked at me, and he stayed there for at least, I think, must have been 2 minutes. And I was looking at him, and it was almost like a sign. And it was at that point that it dawned upon me, I didn't need to light up my bong. Which is the first thing I did every morning.
Yeah, come on, man.
I didn't need to do anything. I felt so good. The guys on my dorm, I felt sorry for them, actually. You know, I was the one jumping up and down in the dorm going, I heard the Lord.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Praise God.
He heard me.
Yeah, come on. Praise God.
And they got tired of hearing the name Jesus. There's one more story that goes along with it. Yeah. They got really tired of hearing the name Jesus and me trying to get them to come around. My coming around was supernatural, friends. I got to tell you.
Come on, man. Amen.
It was one day I was one way, and one day I was completely different.
Come on, bro. That's good, man.
Absolutely, completely different. God changed my heart. I was going to sleep at night crying and thanking him.
Praise God.
Me.
Amen. Praise God.
Weeping in bed going, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough.
Hallelujah.
I don't know why you do. I don't deserve it.
Come on, man.
Right? We know that, don't we? This flesh one day is going to be gone, and we're going to be in his presence, and it won't matter anymore.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
But these guys got tired of hearing me say the name Jesus. I said, let's have a meeting, and we can talk about it. So all these guys, these big jocks, you know, football got players, and all these different guys in my dorm came. We got in this room, and the first thing that one of the guys asked me was, well, what about Job? Well, who's Job?
Yeah, come on. Praise God. Did you invite him?
I didn't know who Job was. I didn't know what he'd gone through. Yeah. It didn't make any difference. I sought the
come
Lord.
Come on. Amen.
And he heard and
praise
he
God. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's all that matters.
That's exactly right. Come on, bro.
It changed my life. I quit doing drugs.
Yeah, come on, man. Praise God.
Yeah. That's my testimony.
That's good. Praise God. Hey, aren't you glad God saved him? Come on, man. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Now I get to do this.
Yeah, you got he had a purpose in your life, brother. Yeah, thank you for that. That's the first time I heard that one. I loved it. How many say amen?
Amen.
Come on, how many know that God can do anything? Yeah. Can you say? Yeah. I know that God draws people. And you know, hey, so never give up on anybody. Keep talking, keep inviting him, keep loving him, keep telling him something, you know, hallelujah. Probably the best thing for him to happen was to run out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's something, because when you run out, then folks say, hey, let's pray for that guy. Yeah. Hey, call out his name tonight. When you go before the Lord, just let, you know, hey, call out his name. And they say, yeah, that guy that ran like a rabbit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, we're strange. Can you just admit we're strange when it comes to people who don't know anything about the Lord? Yeah. We are weird folks. Is that right?
Yep.
You're peculiar people. Is that right? That's just, I mean, it's just the way it is. Why? Because you are not of this world. Do you know that?
Yeah.
You know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus said when he was praying to his father, he says, Father, hey, I pray for them. They are not of this world.
Yes. Amen.
Folks, we are from a kingdom that is not of this world. And that's who we are. We are representatives of the kingdom of God on the earth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you haven't heard yet, but Randy is doing an excellent teaching on Wednesday night. So on the kingdom. We believe that the kingdom of God is about to be manifest in the earth like it never has been before. Is that right, Randy?
Yes.
God is manifesting himself in ways that people are going to be astounded. They're going to be astonished. Any more A words I can use? Yeah, whatever. Astounded and astonished, and that's about it. And what?
Amazed.
Thank you for that word. Because of the kingdom. This kingdom is like nothing else. Can you say amen to that? And I believe with all my heart, God is calling his people into the closet. He's calling you into a face-to-face time with him wherever you're at. Because of the fact that he needs you. We need you. Everybody in the body of Christ needs you to do those things that God has already placed in you. God has already placed works deep within you that he's going to do through you, but you've got to go after him. Can you say amen? Your pastor can't get it to you. Your buddies and friends can't get it to you. You need to get into the presence of God and find out from him what does he have for you. You're never too old. Some folks say, well, I'm just too old for that. So, no, you're not. If you're still breathing, everybody go, everybody take a breath. Take a breath. Yeah. Some of you need mints. Never mind. Yeah, anyway. If you're breathing, he loves you.
Amen.
He's got something for you. Young people over there, come on, man.
Yeah.
You got a life of the kingdom of God to look forward to. You watch what God does in your lives. Come on. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Somehow I felt that more than what I... Maybe I should just stop right there. Can you say amen to that? Everybody say, stop. Let's go home. It's already a quarter to three. I mean, quarter to 12. I don't have much time to preach this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. I know that if there's anything I know that God deposits in you what he wants to deposit when you go after him. This morning, tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. What's after Tuesday? Yeah, that's right. Wednesday morning. Friday morning. You missed Thursday. Thursday morning, Friday, Saturday morning, God wants to deposit, put a deposit in you. Can you say amen? He is looking, folks. He's looking for someone that will just wait for him. Can you say amen?
Yes.
He's looking for someone that will just say, God, I'm just going to sit. I got plenty of time, God. I got up 2 hours early before I got to go to work. I'm just going to sit here, God. I'm going to open the Bible. I'm going to read a few scriptures. And then I'm going to say, Lord, speak to me.
Yes.
Talk to my heart.
Yes.
Talk to my heart. Open to me your kingdom, Father. Open those. That is his heart, that you would go to him with a heart saying, I need you to put up Psalm 68, verse 19. I'm going to let you go here in just a minute because it's just, I think you've had enough. But folks, I really believe worship is so important to us. We've got to enter into worship. The Holy Spirit begins to move freely in worship. We've got to enter in to what he wants for us. Worship is a privilege, do you not know? Do you not know how much of a privilege it is that God has brought you into his kingdom? Do you not know that it's a privilege to raise your hands to God? I love you. I can't do nothing without you, Father. Jesus, I am not able. I've got no strength without you.
Amen.
Psalm 68:19. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with blessings, with benefits. Amen. Benefits. How many of you want things that are going to benefit you? Does anybody have a desire for benefits that would come from the Father, from God, the King? Jesus, the King, would give you a benefit tomorrow morning. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. And if you get real, if you fall in love with it, maybe you're going Monday lunchtime, Tuesday lunchtime, Wednesday lunchtime. Like David said, three times a day I come after you, Father. Three times a day I look for you. There's a way to enter into the kingdom of God, to enter into the presence of God. How many of you know that? There's a way to get in. You know what opens those doors? Thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with what? With thanksgiving. Put that up. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Can you put that up? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You see, Sunday morning, appearances, and now you can't go by appearances, and I know folks can get pretty, you can say, well, man, praise God. Worshiping God, yeah, and that's cool, and that's fine. I'm not. But I will tell you, in heaven, you're going to feel pretty weird, because I sense that there is radical worship going on. When you can actually look at a throne, you can actually see what looks like gold feet. Can you say, man, what is that? Can you imagine? I don't think you're going to be going, oh God, I worship you. I think you'll be calling out, man, God, I worship you. I love you, Father. I need you. to load a benefit on me. Amen. So you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And then the next one is, it's Psalm 134, verse 2. It's a simple thing, but a lot of folks won't do it, but it's a simple thing. Hello. Lift up your hands. You lift up your hands and you worship him, and you call out to him. You say, Father, touch my life. Father, I'm looking for you, for what you have for me. I worship you. I thank you, Lord, that you have saved me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Lifting up is a hand, and lifting up your hands is, I mean, some of you know this better than most. Police will say, lift up your hands, you know. Hands up. It's a sign of surrender. It really is a sign of surrender. Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I surrender. I love this song that Steve wrote. Surrender. Just surrender. Hallelujah. Watch what God does. Can I say daily? Daily entering into his presence. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord. How long?
Always.
How long?
Always.
How long?
Always.
Always. Rejoice. I mean, hey, my son and my daughter, well, and my wife too, she's not here, so. My wife is headed for California this afternoon, so they had to go get a car. So be praying for that, okay? Say, Lord, when you go into the closet, say, hey, Lord, we just want you to remember Rebecca. Go ahead and remember Rebecca, but Rosie and her sisters. So, and then pray in the spirit, okay? All right, praise God, hallelujah. But I forgot where I was going when I got on that, so anyway. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And it says this, be careful for nothing. It says, don't worry. That's what that means. Be careful for nothing. I think in the NIV it says, don't have any anxiety. Is that right, John? Come on, bro. Come on. Lift up the NIV, bro. Yeah, when I say NIV, he goes, yeah, come on. Come on. I'm a King James. That's me, man. I'm a King James guy. Yeah, hallelujah. TPT, where's Steve? Ah, he's not here. He's out reading his TPT Bible, I hope. Praise God. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't let anything bother you. Just continue to keep rejoicing. Sometimes it's going to be a sacrifice of praise because something might happen. But you continue to say, God, I just trust you. I'm going to take this as an opportunity to worship you and praise you in the midst of it. Hallelujah. When they stole my truck, praise God. I said, Lord, whoever gets in it, let them sense your presence. What else can you do? Amen. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. I was not happy with it. It was a sacrifice of praise. Yeah, I was not happy. But I said, praise God. Hallelujah. So be careful for nothing and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Get into his presence. Thank him. Let him know what you want, what you're there for. And then, folks, I will seriously tell you, I'm saying pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit because he knows what's coming in your life. How many of you know that we don't know too much more than what's coming? You know, hey, Henry, you only got 7 minutes left and you're going out the doors. You know that. But other than that, we don't know a lot. Is that right? But the Holy Spirit knows all about you. He knows everything that's coming towards you, everything he wants to give you. So pray in the Spirit. Let your requests be made known unto God. Father, watch over my wife as they drive to California. Thank you, Father. Gloria Shambria Kosandara Shandai. Is that okay? Is that all right?
Amen.
Glory to God. Listen, and that was Jude chapter 20. Right? Jude 20. It says, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Pray in the Holy Spirit. And then check this out. One of the things that I do know, do you know that the Holy Spirit has been given to you for power. How many of you know that? The Holy Spirit has been given to you to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. Do you know that? How many know that? That's that. This is why Jesus said, I must leave. But if I leave, I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. How many know the Holy Spirit is a great Comforter?
Yes.
Is that right? Praise God.
Yes.
I want you to see this scripture. This is Psalm 110, verses 1, 2, and 3. Just check out this scripture. I got 6 minutes, folks, so don't worry. Your roast's not going to burn. All right, it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I love that. You know, that scripture right there is in Hebrews chapter 10. Do you know that? Of course you did. All right, but the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is what God told Jesus after Jesus had gone to the cross, had gone into to purchase our salvation by paying for our sins. He went into hell, 3 days, resurrected. Is that okay?
Yes.
And when he was resurrected, he ascended back into heaven. Is that right? Does he remember that? Does anybody remember this? Say amen. Yeah, come on. Yeah, right. And then when he gets into heaven, God the Father says, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. How's he going to do that? The Holy Ghost, folks. The Holy Spirit. Watch what it says. Sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Zion is the holy city. That's where New Jerusalem is. Can you say amen? Yeah, that's the holy city. So it says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. How many know that the Bible talks about the rod? Is that right? What was it used for? He says, spare the rod, spoil the child. My son, I went to go swat him one day. He said, Dad, the word says to spare the rod. I said, no, you're not getting this right. Let me get this done and I'll talk to you about it. Yeah, amen, bam, bam. The rod, it says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. See, this is the correction that we all need. How many of you know that? The Holy Spirit is here to make us to actually, it's almost like being in a fire. Can you say, how many like fire? How many like walking in fire? No. But see, this is the same thing. He's a refining us. A refinery gets the impurities out so that the best can be there. Is that right? If you ever watch the copper mine process or any of those processes, you'll see that they'll get the bad stuff out, impurities. And see, this is the rod of his strength. This is the Holy Ghost. He comes to strengthen us and to build us, to show us. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And then he says this. Because when the Holy Spirit's been talking with you, when he's been instructing you, he's been pouring benefits on you daily in a daily spot, morning, noon, and evening, morning, 7 times a day, whatever time, whatever it's in your heart to go after God for, praise God. He says this. You're going to have to go back a little bit. Yeah. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Woo. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Next verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. Do you see what that is? That was the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came on the earth and began to move amongst the people of God. And so far, he's made it all the way down to me. I wish Michael was here because I was going to talk to him. He's in his backyard and he's looking at the stars. And he lifts, John, is it sledgehammers? Is that what he lifts? He lifts sledgehammers. He exercises with him. He's in his backyard. He began to pray in the Spirit. The Lord baptized him in the Holy Ghost right there in his backyard. People will be willing in the day of your power in the beauties of holiness from the womb. Do you hear that? The womb of the morning. The womb of the morning. In other words, right early in the morning go after God. God told, I think it was Jeremiah, he told them, he goes, I come to the rulers of Israel, I rise early, but they won't listen. They won't even take time to hear me. But folks, I'm telling you today that God is saying he needs us to take time. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added to you. Seek him first. Go after him first. Folks, we've got a job to do. We've got to know what God has for each and every one of us. Every person in the body, every joint needs to supply what is needed to the rest of the body. Can you say amen to that? And that's what God is doing. This is what this mic is for. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? God is calling us. Calling us. Yes. Psalm 68:28. This is probably one of my favorite verses. You know how God commanded light? Yeah. Let there be light. And he commanded, let there be a firmament in the heavens and began to make all these things. He commanded it. And it did. And it happened. He's a great and mighty God. And this verse right here, this is in the King James Version. It says, thy God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. God has done things for us. He's placed things within us that he desires for us to walk in. How many say amen? Amen. Amen. Will you stand up? We're going to be done now. Look at 12 o'clock. Boom. Ah, right on time. Come on. Hallelujah. Say, well, we go over that. Pastor watches the clock. Well, I know. What is it? Something of as much as a seat can take or something like that. I don't know. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will begin to give you an overwhelming desire to go after him. Not this maybe, I mean, you know, I'll get up and maybe I'll go, yeah. It will be the first thing you do. Your hunger will drive you. It will push you to go after him. You're from within, you're going to sense him pulling on you. Yes. Stronger and stronger. Do you know, after last week's sermon, I've had four people come and tell me, man, my prayer life has changed. Four folks. I'm looking for all of us. Because look, I'm not, you know, you might say, well, you know, I pray. Who do you think you are? I'm just telling you. This is what God is telling me to say. Is that okay?
Yes.
He wants you in his face, in his presence, so that he might fill you daily with the things he has for you. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Come on. Father, I just thank you for your people. I ask you, Father, that you would give them an overwhelming hunger, Father. Not for the natural food, but for supernatural. Father, your word has told us, not suggested, Father. I don't believe it's suggesting, but your word has told us to seek first the kingdom of God. And then everything will be added to us. Add to my brothers and my sister, Father, wisdom, understanding, spiritual insight in what you have for them, Father. I thank you for it and I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree,
amen.
Say amen. Hey, hug somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.